Greetings. This is Lena, and you're listening to the Witch Mix Podcast, where we talk about all things witchy, mix it up with a whole lot more. Download the podcast at witchmix.podbean.com.
Hi there. This is episode 2 of the Witch Mix Podcast, and I am Mina. Today is September 11th, 2009. It's the 8th year anniversary of the September 11th tragedy of World Trade Center in New York City. And I'm always sad whenever that date comes. And it was just a devastating thing. I did not lose anybody personally in the tragedy, but I felt as though I have. I've been to Ground Zero since then. I visited Ground Zero, I believe it was 2004 when we went, and the feeling that I felt when I toured that area, I felt like lead. I felt so heavy, and it was pretty difficult. It was emotionally difficult and psychically difficult, and I kept thinking, let me get out of here. I can't stand this. You know, I was with a group, and I just kept how I felt to myself, but I'm in no hurry to go back there. On another note, I'd like to say that I am so happy about the healthcare speech that President Obama gave in his joint session meeting the other night, because quite honestly, I was really getting angry with how he was playing this out. One of the reasons I voted for him and worked for him as a volunteer and canvassed for him during the campaign was because healthcare was a big issue for me. And it seemed like his winning the presidency would actually make it real, you know, healthcare available to all people in the country who need it. And then I started to see a little bit of faltering there because he wasn't getting the support he wanted. And I just had to think to myself, hey, wait a minute, you know, I voted for you because of this. And if you back down, that's it, buddy. You're not getting reelected. Not with my help, anyway. So when he gave his speech and reaffirmed my concerns and put that vim and vigor back into the debate, into the argument, I was ecstatic. I was happy. I was thrilled. And then I got pissed. I got pissed because of that outburst by Congressman Joe Wilson of South Carolina. I mean, damn. Never, ever in my life would I ever think somebody would have the balls to do something like that in the middle of a joint session, interrupting the President of the United States. I mean, okay, you don't respect him. He's, what, not the right shade for you. You don't like his parents. You don't like where his dad came from. You don't like his politics. Fine. A lot of people felt that way when Bush was president. But yet, when Bush was president, did you see people acting so disrespectful and rude, barring the non-American person that threw shoes at him? I mean, come on. What country is this again? Oh, right, it's America. Big surprise, right? Okay, whoever says this country is not racist, you need help, all right? Seriously, you're delusional. Because I'm seeing evidence of racial hatred perpetrated against the president on almost a daily basis, all right? And people just can't help themselves, because for a person to bear hatred against somebody that they don't even know personally, solely on the shade of their skin, you have a mental problem, okay? It's that simple. Why do you think that they're so unreasonable? He stood up there, and brought up every single lie that his critics, enemies, have been saying about healthcare to get people all riled up and afraid and fighting against it. And he did it with such style and finesse. And yet, even though he knocked every single lie down flat on its face, people are still running around perpetuating that bullshit, you know, and people are still buying into it. So, and don't get me wrong, I know some black Republicans, and half of them did not vote for Obama. okay? And I say all of them, seriously, they're suffering from Stockholm Syndrome. And if you don't know what that is, look it up, okay? Because it's just an amazing phenomenon. It's just crazy. But I'm not going to waste any more time talking about that. People who go out of their way to do ill will toward others. And in this case, we're talking about 47 million Americans who don't have health insurance. You get your comeuppance. I'm not going to worry about you. The universe will take care of you. So switching gears, I'd like to talk about my ancestral altar. Last week, I think I may have mentioned it in episode one, and I did not get an opportunity to set my ancestral altar up due to the fact that I wanted to set it up in our entryway, in our foyer, and I wanted to paint the walls. And my husband thought it was a great idea, but then when we got home with the paint, we decided that it wouldn't be a good idea to paint over the cracks. So we hired some people to come in and patch up all the cracks and do new plaster work, and that was wonderful and great. And now we're ready to paint, right? Wrong. After we saw the walls, then we started looking at the wood, and we decided, oh, well, maybe we should restain and do the wood on the staircase and whatnot. So, okay, yeah, all right, let's bring the workers back in and have them do that. But wait a minute. One more thing, the floors. We should redo the floors. We have old asbestos tile on our floor in the foyer. And my husband took one of them up. I begged him not to because it's asbestos and that's dangerous stuff. You don't want to mess around with it. But he just took up a little piece. And it turns out there's beautiful hardwood underneath. Basically like the rest of the house. We have beautiful quarter-sewn oak wood floors. And they just don't make them that way anymore. So we decided to have them come in next week and pull up the floor and do the wood and blah, blah, blah. So I probably won't be putting up my ancestral altar for at least another week and a half or 2 weeks. And I really, really, really need to do it. And this is why. About 18 years ago, I moved back from New York to Chicago, and like I mentioned before in episode one, I moved back under really devastating circumstances. I was very depressed, and a friend of mine, very close friend of mine, took me to see a babalawo who he thought could help me. And what he did was he divined an oracle for me and did a couple of cleansings, ritual cleansings, and I'll go into details about those later, maybe in this podcast or an upcoming one. And another thing he did was advise me to make an altar for my ancestors. And so I did. And the ancestor that I decided to honor on this altar was my maternal grandmother. And the reason why I chose her is because in her life, she was a very strong, determined, independent woman. She was paralyzed on her entire right side as a result of having a stroke. I think in her late 50s, she had a stroke, and it left her whole right side useless. And she passed away, I think, she was in her late 80s. And for almost all of her life, with the exception of the last year of her life, she lived by herself in the country down in Mississippi. She had a cute little house on the top of a hill, very remote, desolate area. She had a few animals there, a couple cows, some hogs, chickens, and a vegetable garden. And so she basically grew her own food and had her own animals for milk and eggs and occasional meat. And she never wanted anybody's help. I mean, every now and then people would just, you know, visit on her and go shopping for her or whatever. But she didn't want anybody living with her. She didn't want to go live with anybody else. And she really did not accept help too much. She was very determined to do things on her own. So her strength and determination to make it on her own, even with this debilitating, you know, thing that she had, she was just a source of inspiration because at the time I was feeling very vulnerable. I was feeling very weak. I felt so depressed. I felt like somebody had cut off my legs and my arms and I was just immobile. You know, I would stay in bed for days and days and days and days. I wouldn't even get up to take a shower or brush my teeth. You know, it was just bad. It was awful. And very dark, dark period for me. And making that altar was in itself very, very cathartic. You know, just putting it together. My mom, who I was staying with at the time, had an old handkerchief of my mom, my grandmother's, and so I used that as a cover for the altar because I used the dresser, put the handkerchief down, and I had a couple of items that my mom let me use that belonged to my grandmother. A gold antique watch was one of them, one of her smoking pipes, and we managed to get a hold of a pouch of tobacco. It was the kind that she liked to smoke. And my mom also had some of her old china, so I put a cup of coffee on the altar for her, and I put a dish of cornmeal because cornmeal was a huge, huge staple for my grandma. In the morning, she would cook cornmeal mush, and we used it to bread things. You know, she would make these really wonderful fried green tomatoes with it, or we would bread fresh-caught catfish, fried okra, and of course cornbread, right? And sometimes she made these really great cornmeal dumplings, and she used that in her chicken and dumplings, and you know, so cornmeal was a big deal. And so I put a little dish of cornmeal there. I put a glass of water and some fresh flowers, a white candle, and what I didn't put on there were photographs. And the reason why I didn't is because I didn't have any. And the photographs that my mom had were glued inside of an album, and taking them out would have ruined the photos. So I didn't use any pictures. So I made this altar, and what I did was I basically just thought of all my fondest memories of her and how she went through life, you know, just determined to do things on her own. It was difficult for her, you know, in terms of being physically able to move around. She was pretty slow. And it was kind of hard for her to get up and down, you know, but she made it. She did it. And so I basically asked her to come and bless me with some of her strength and determination. And I let her know, you know, I'm having a really hard time right now. And if you could just bless me with some of your grace and clarity and courage, I would be most ever grateful. You know, and just things along those lines. Well, that night I had a dream about her. I dreamt that I went to visit her at her home in the country, and I remember walking up the driveway in the dream, and I saw her sitting there on her front porch smoking her pipe. And as I approached closer to the house, she got up effortlessly without a stick or a walker or a cane or anything, and just got up all on her own and walked down the steps of her porch and greeted me with a hug. And then she picked me up and just held me up, like, almost over her head, and was just looking at me, you know, with this pipe still smoking out of the corner of her mouth. And she never said a word in the dream. She just looked at me. And I was just thinking, oh, you know, I miss you so much, you know. I love you, and I'm so happy to see you. And when she put me down onto the ground, my feet started sinking into the ground, as if the ground had turned into quicksand or wet cement. That was what it was like, wet concrete, because I just started sinking. And then it stopped when the ground got about maybe up to the bottom of my knees. And I was stuck. It just turned hard all of a sudden, and I could not get my legs out. I couldn't move. And my grandma, she just turned around and went back on the porch and sat down on her swing and was just sitting there smoking her pipe, looking at me, didn't say a word the whole time. And I was screaming, like, wait, get me out of here. You know, I want to come up there and talk to you. I miss you. I have so many questions to ask you. And she just sat there and she looked at me. And then when I woke up, it dawned on me that she was giving me a message. And that message was to stay put. And the reason why that's important is because for a pretty good while, I was contemplating moving back to New York. I had a very good reason to move back, but I didn't have any resources. I didn't have a job waiting for me. I had very little money, didn't have a place to live. And I just thought to myself, if it doesn't work out, you know, finding a place to live, I will sleep in Port Authority or I will sleep in Tompkins Square Park when it's warmer. But I was determined to get back. And I was really trying hard to make it happen. And I really feel in my heart of hearts that dream was her telling me, you know, no, baby, stay here. And I made a decision based upon that to stay where I was. And about maybe a month or so later, I ended up getting a job and I ended up meeting this really cool guy and ended up marrying him and been with him ever since. And we have two beautiful daughters together. And, you know, if I had gone back to New York, none of that would have happened. Our lives wouldn't have crossed paths and my daughters wouldn't exist. So there was, you know, definitely a reason to stay here. And putting that altar together and honoring, you know, the spirit of my grandmother, I think kind of made a doorway, if you will, or a window into which, you know, we could climb through and meet each other in a certain time and space. In this case, in my dream state, I'm looking forward to the new altar. And I could put it up now and just move everything once the foyer is done, but I really don't want to do that. I really want to start it on, you know, its permanent location when that location is done. Another topic that I'd like to discuss is cleansing or spiritual cleaning. Cleaning out your sacred space or your space for working your magic or working your craft is extremely important, and it has to begin with the physical cleaning. Because, you know, I've read that, you know, the spirits of the ancients will not enter a dirty home. And if you've got a cluttered, dirty aura, don't expect divine power to enter it, to commune with you. It's just not going to happen. So if you're lazy, if you're the type of person that doesn't like to clean up, then maybe working it is not for you. But if you are determined to make this work for you, you're just going to have to bite the bullet, get your butt up, get some stuff together and physically clean your space. I'd like to combine physical and spiritual cleaning together. And the way that I do that is making a preparation of sea salt, ground sage, and powdered sulfur. And I combine equal parts of all three of the things. And I take this mixture and put it in all of the corners of the space that I'm going to be cleaning. And if it's a carpeted floor, I'll just, you know, I'll do the same thing. I'll put it in the corners as well. So I'll use a broom or a vacuum, depending on the broom. And what I like to do is charge my broom or my vacuum. And what I do is hold it in my right hand and I visualize a bolt of lightning striking the broom or vacuum with all of the energy needed to complete the task. And once I'm done with that, I start to sweep. And depending on, you know, what tradition you're following or what path you're following, there are different sort of, you know, instructions on how to do this in terms of the directions, which direction to start in, and whether to go clockwise or counterclockwise. I just go with my gut. You know, I start where it feels right to start, and I go in the direction that feels right. Some people say that you should only do this kind of thing during a certain moon phase. And again, a lot of times you just can't wait, you know. Sometimes you really can't wait for the moon to be waxing or waning or full or new or whatever. You just need to get it done. And, you know, it's your personal preference if you like to work with certain moon phases, you know, lunar phases and times and different signs and what have you. I just go with my gut. You know, when I feel like it's time for it to be done, then that's when I do it. And after that's done, I take the debris and I flush it down my toilet. Now, I know that's probably not very traditional. I'm not sure yet. From the time that I started learning about this, you just didn't do that. You were instructed to take the debris to a running body of water, like a stream or a brook or a river, or you would take it to a crossroads and just dump it there. But, you know, you have to keep in mind, you know, when these things were being done. This was back in the day. You know, there was no indoor plumbing and people lived closer to nature. And it wasn't too much of a stretch to go to, you know, a body of running water. Well, you know, times have changed. And I live in the city. I don't really live near a running body of water. And dumping something at the crossroads, well, we have fines for littering. And that's basically what it would be where I live. So I have no qualms about putting my debris in the toilet because I know that it's leaving my house. It's leaving my dwelling. It's going to where all the poo-poo is. And that just seems like an apropos thing for me to do. The same with the vacuuming. Once I'm done vacuuming the space, I have a canister-type vacuum deal. And so I'll just dump the canister's contents in the toilet and just flush everything away. So after the sweeping and or vacuuming, it's mopping time. And there are lots of really cool floor washes and things out there for this purpose. I most of the time brew my own floor wash. And I always use the basic foundation ingredients, which are water, sea salt, sage, rosemary, and bay leaf. And what I do is I take some water, I fill up a pasta pot and fill it up with water and get it to a boil. And then I brew about a cup or 2 cups of the herbs, the 3 herbs I just named. And I make a pretty concentrated brew. And then I add that to my water. I put the water in a mop bucket or pail and I add the brew to it. I add a few drops of Florida water. And Florida water is a staple in certain practices, and you can usually find it in stores that are near or in Hispanic communities. The last time I bought a bottle of it, I got it from a Walmart that happened to be near a large Hispanic community. But you can find it online, you know, just Google it, Florida water. And Florida water is said to clean away negative energy and to bring blessings. And so I add a few drops of that to my washing water. And I also add sometimes, if I have it or if I feel moved to use it, some broomsticks. And the broomsticks that I bought from Augustine's came in a little bag and it was marked Van Van. And I have heard of a Van Van herb, but I don't know if that's really what it is. I call it broomsticks. And they're just this small little, like straw-like pieces of, I don't know, straw. I'm not really sure. But I add 5 or 7 or 13 pieces of this to my bucket. And the number, it's very random, okay? I just add as many as I feel I need to. But what I've noticed is a pattern. It's usually 5, 7, or 13 and no other number. Don't ask me why, I can't explain it, but I add those, and so that's the basic recipe for my floor wash. And, you know, different occasions, I might add other things, you know, depending on the situation, depending on how I feel, I might add other things, but that's usually the gist of it. And then pretty much mopping in the same direction in which I swept or vacuumed. Now, if I'm in a carpeted area, I'm not going to mop the floor with this stuff. But what I do is I just go in and sprinkle around the room. I just kind of, you know, sprinkle the solution. Not enough for it to, you know, make everything super wet or stained or whatever. But, you know, just enough to, you know, get it there. And another thing that I do is take a washing cloth and I go in and wipe down the walls, the doors, the window ledges, the window frame, the door frame, and the thresholds of the room with it. And after the mopping is done, you know, by this time I worked up a goodly sweat, you know, and I might be a little dirty myself. And so I go and take a cleansing bath or shower. And I usually use the same brew that I use for the mopping, the herbs, the 3 herbs. You make enough to add to some water to dilute it and put in some sea salt, let that dissolve, and I just basically pour it over my head, whether I'm in a bathtub or a shower. And then I sometimes, you know, just rub it into my body, you know, in the areas of the chakras. I'll sort of just massage it in and you're basically, you know, visualizing yourself bathed in a protective white light as you're doing this. And you're just imagining all the negativity or, you know, bad energy that's on you just dissipating and melting and flowing down the drain as you rinse off. And that's it. Now, a little while ago, I was listening to Ariel's podcast and he mentioned a salt scrub where you take sea salt and you scrub yourself with it. And I tried that and it burned me. It burned my skin. And I contacted him about it, and I was asking him, you know, could I use Epsom salt instead of the sea salt for a body scrub? And he replied and said that he found it unusual that the sea salt burned me because it's a commonly used ingredient in spa treatments and what have you. And so I thought about it, and I realized that, you know, I've been using a different brand of sea salt than I normally use. It might have something to do with it. I don't know. But we were at the time, we had Morton sea salt, and we usually use Hanes sea salt. But we happened to be grocery shopping at a store that didn't carry Hanes, and I didn't even think they had sea salt at all. But lo and behold, Morton, the regular table salt people, had an actual package of sea salt. So going back to Hanes, so I'll try it again. I'm not one to give up on things too easily, so I'm going to try that again and see what happens. And Oceana from Get Witchified, she was talking about cleansings in one of her podcasts, and she mentioned coconut milk. And I keep plenty of that on hand in my pantry because I cook with it regularly. And so I'm really interested in trying that one day as well, using the coconut milk as a cleansing ingredient. It sounds lovely. I mean, coconut milk and coconut oil are really known for its beauty properties for the skin and what have you. And I'm always down for a natural beauty tip. So I'll be trying that as well. And after you're done cleansing yourself, you are ready to go and smudge. And if you have sage smudge sticks, that's great. I use them when I have them. And when I don't have them, I just use dried sage leaves on a lighted incense charcoal. And I just go around and smudge the area that I mopped with that smoke. And then once I'm done with that, I light a spiritual cleansing incense. And that's something I don't make on my own. I'm not really adept at blending incenses. It's something that I would really, really like to get into further down the road. But for now, I use a prepared blend called Spiritual Cleansing. And it's also from Augustine Spiritual Goods. And it is wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. It's not a heady fragrance, but it's not subtle either. And the smell is just so pleasing. It has a very uplifting, wonderful fragrance. I don't know offhand what Miss Alice uses, but just by looking at it, I can see sage bits in there. I can see gums and resins in there. I can see what looks like it might be myrrh in there. You know, it's just a wonderful blend. And I'm running out, so I'm going to be ordering some more pretty soon. And when you're using the incense and the smudges, it's a good time to recognize the spirits that you want to, you know, be giving you that light of blessing and protection and, you know, clearing away that negative energy. And you want to, you know, let them know you appreciate them and let them know you're welcome. Some people have incantations, they say, or prayers or chants, songs, poems, or sometimes, you know, you might not say anything at all. You might just be using your mindful intent, you know, but as long as you recognize that you are making some sort of communing with the spirits that will come and bless your home and protect it, and, you know, just make sure they're recognized and thank them. And then that's it. And then from there, you can go on to casting your circle, going on to your magical workings. You can go into your trance for trance work or your healing work or whatever it is that you want to get done. You can just go on and do it from there. Now, how often should you do this kind of thing? You know, some people work with schedules. You know, again, you know, if you're working with lunar phases or different signs of the zodiac or constellations, planets, you know, whatever, it just depends. You know, you might be working on the natural schedule, or you might do it on an as-needed basis. Like I said, when I physically clean, I always use the salt in the corners, the salt mixture in the corners. And every time I mop or do any cleaning around the house, I always use the herbal brew mixed into my bucket and the Florida water. So I basically do that every time I clean up. And then for purposes of ridding,
or expelling bad energies. I usually break out the big guns for that one, but that's another podcast. I'd like to do something different on this podcast. I'd like to introduce some music, and the selection that I chose for this podcast is from one of my favorite groups, Sweet Honey in the Rock. The song is In the Morning When I Rise, and it's from an album called Still on the Journey. I just love the title of that album because it basically reflects me, you know, and where I am in all of this, still on the journey. So check out Sweet Honey in the Rock, In the Morning When I Rise.
In the morning
when I Sweet Honey in the Rock with In the Morning When I Rise from the album Still on the Journey. This is a six-woman membered a cappella group, and they offer, and I'm reading this from the iTunes bio, offers a full banquet of sound. The songs are of love and living and of struggling and dying. Sweet Honey sings in inspired harmonies, gospel, folk, and rap songs, all with the message of unity and freedom. Love that song. It really gets me moving. It gives me such a boost of energy. It's hard to listen to it and keep still. Maybe it got you moving a little bit too, but that's what it's about. It's about feeling good and being able to face your day with whatever comes your way. Let me know if you have any questions or comments or general feedback or whatever. I'd like to hear from you. I'd like to know that somebody is listening to this and getting something from it. My email is curryrl@gmail.com. That's Curry Girl. And I'm also on Twitter, so you can find me on Twitter with the same name, curryrl. At Twitter. And let me clear up a couple of mistakes that I made before I leave from episode one. I was mispronouncing Ariel. I was calling him Ariel, and I apologize for that because I have an Ariane in my life, and I call her Ari for short. So when I saw Ariel, it was just natural for me to pronounce it Ariel, like the Little Mermaid in the Disney movie, Ariel. So it's Ariel. And I think that I had some editing issues. I get interrupted a lot when I do these podcasts, and so I have to kind of jog my memory and try to figure out where I left off before I got interrupted. And so my editing skills aren't really that great, and I saw that I had repeated myself a couple of times maybe in the first episode. And let's see, what else? Oh, I think I misspoke when I was giving my URL. The podcast is available at witchmix.podbean.com. And I'm trying to get the podcast on other sites as well. So we'll see how that goes. But for now, Podbean is my home. And if anything changes, I'll definitely announce it on the next podcast. And let's see, is there anything else I want to mention? Yeah. Oh, and I probably said awesome no less than 687 times. You know, I found that kind of annoying personally after I was listening to it. I'm going to catch myself in the future. And hopefully I'll be breaking my habit. I noticed that I have that pretty bad too, so working on that as well. And, you know, hopefully these will get better as I crank them out over time. So during the next podcast, I'll be reviewing an iPod app. There are so many wonderful witchy apps available for the iPhone and iTouch. And so I have several installed on my iPhone that I think are pretty neat. So I'll probably be doing one or two reviews on the iPhone apps that are of interest to people who are witches or pagans or practitioners of Wicca or witchcraft. I have a book review coming up. I am still reading Jambalaya by Louisa Teich. And it's a book that I've read before. I bought it many, many years ago, and I've forgotten about it, and I'm reading it again to refresh and reacquaint myself. So I'll have a review about that book next episode. And I have a few more things to say about working with the ancestors. I have a couple of other really interesting little experiences that happened as a result of doing my ancestral altar. So I'll talk about those. And I'll also talk about my little house ghost that I have, or whatever the energy is that I have in my house that's going out of its way to get me to notice it. I'll talk about that too. So I hope you tune in. Until next time, take care.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Witch Mix Podcast. Tune in next time, where we talk about all things witchy, plus a whole lot more.